The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
Where do we start on this final hooter on loverubbily.com? Where do we start? Do we talk about the re-arrival of Tony Smith?
The second coming of the Messiah, you mean?
Who saw that one coming?
That was right from left field, wasn't it? Over at Old Kingston Rovers.
Yeah.
First no one was talking about that.
First off for Tim Sheens, but you know, it is a performance game. But Tony Smith back in the World Rugby League after 18 months out away from it.
I saw a wag on Twitter saying that.
A wag? Yeah. The wags exist in rugby league?
No. Basically saying that they've only appointed Tony Smith because they don't have to change any of the training gear because it's TS and Tim Sheens, Tony Smith.
I thought you were about. Wives and girlfriends.
Oh, no, not on this occasion.
None
anyway.
Of that. No, all right.
None of that.
Yeah, so should we talk about that? Could do, couldn't we?
We could do, yeah.
We could talk about the departure of Sean Long to the dark side.
Yeah, in fact, we'll be hearing from Justin Albrook a bit later on that, won't we?
All happening, isn't it? But no, we're not going to start with them. I know the big stories within the World Rugby League, but one story that caught my attention a few weeks ago was Swinton chairman Andy Maisie talking about a possible restructure and rebranding the M27 of Manchester.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? And we spoke with Andy just before.
Andy, great to have you on the show.
Great to be with you, Dave. Thank you very much.
Now, it's been an interesting old couple of weeks for Swinton, hasn't it? First of all, let's reflect on the good work that was done in combination with regarding building for the Toronto game.
Yeah, well, it's fair to say it's never boring at Swinton, that's for sure. We've had a very busy couple of weeks, shall we say, and a varied couple of weeks for one reason or another. But yeah, the whole event and everything and match day that we put on Sunday and the lead up to it for probably 10 days before, it was an absolute success and it couldn't really have gone any better, really. We got a good crowd. Everything about it was good the other day, other than the weather, of course. But, you know, we can't do much about that one, can we?
Is the intention to follow this up with other ticket offers for the remaining games or to keep that interest going?
Yeah, that's certainly the feedback from it is, because let's be honest, it's an expensive day out in the current sort of climate, really. If you've got a family and you've got, there's a couple of you and children, etc., it can be expensive. So, the aim was to make it affordable and sort of, maybe get back people who wouldn't necessarily normally be able to afford to come or want to come and try and make it attractive. And certainly, we'd like to think that we can retain a percentage of those people that have come along for the first time.
Now, we spoke to you probably about this time last year, actually, where things were ongoing with regards to getting the Lions back to Swinton. Where are things up to regarding that?
Slow progress on that one, if I'm honest. Obviously, it's been well documented. We're in partnership with Moorside Rangers, and we've signed a memorandum of understanding with Moorside, so we're partnered up on the scheme, but being brutally honest, there's not a great deal of money available to rugby league clubs in terms of grants and funding. So we're heavily reliant upon Moorside and football funding. And the stumbling block at the moment on that one is obviously Moorside's funding applications are taking time and they're not necessarily going through as quickly as we would have liked. So it's nothing really in our control as the club, but we've just got to really be patient on that one.
Now, I mean, interestingly enough, over the last few weeks, you've been quoted as saying about working more towards Manchester. When you say that, what do you mean? Because the question that we sort of have, or I certainly have, is how do you get with aligning yourself towards Manchester without moving away from the history of Swinton as one of the grand old names of rugby league?
Well, I think that's a question that we've obviously asked ourselves because, I've been in the chair now for 2 years, and we've put together a fantastic board of people with some really varied, and professional skill sets and, also assisting me from an investment perspective. And we've sat down and we've looked at many different ways. And I think the thing we've always wanted to do and achieve is getting the club back to Swinton. But obviously, as we've just spoken about, that's not happening quickly. So it's still part of the plan and still part of the future. But what we've had to do is recognise that, with the changes that's happened since I came in, mainly, primarily, the the Super League sort of AGM and breakaway last year, and then obviously we're concerned obviously about the fallout and effects that may come from the end of the Sky TV deal in 2021 and what that might have on us as a club. So we're having to look at what we do in the sort of short to medium term, as well as having a long-term strategy. And I think the way as I can see the sport going is it's very much focused on big cities, expansion, globalisation. And I think one of our biggest assets as a club is the fact that we have an M27 Manchester postcode. And I don't think we use that well enough in terms of branding and in terms of making people aware that we're in the Manchester area.
I mean, I know I was privileged, really, to be speaking to Ian Rigg about this time last year, and I think he was building towards a similar sort of ticketing initiative for a game against Toulouse, where you had over 2,000 people that went to the game. And he was saying about some of the issues with even being in Swinton and raising the profile there. People have almost forgotten that the club exists. That's a massive undertaking, isn't it, really?
It is. It's a difficult one, Dave, because obviously, you know, the first and foremost, we've got a loyal hardcore of people from Swinton. And they, you know, to some degree, they are, you know, they underpin the club. You know, obviously, we've got a board of directors now and myself that put funds into the club. And obviously, we've managed to, with having a good board with skill sets, we've managed to increase the income from commercial opportunities. But primarily, you know, the focus was always on Swinton. But, you know, there's a reality as well that within that M27 area, we've not actively been in Swinton for nearly 30 years now. And, you know, some interesting data I was given by Salford, actually, Salford Red Devils. They are actually now, they have more season ticket holders in the M27 postcode area than we do as
really?
The Swinton Lions, which is very worrying from my perspective.
So you're sort of looking more outward. Is this where you can sort of like maybe jump in with maybe the fallout from the Manchester clubs, with Mancunians not really developing as they would have hoped, and even the Manchester Rangers situation?
Well, I would hope that, you know, at first and foremost, everything we do will be, you know, under the, you know, the banner of Swinton, with our, you know, we're proud of our history and heritage, our six league championships, our M27 postcode. So, you know, as I say, you know, Agecroft's still going to be there in the background. We're working on that. And I'd like to think that before we can make that a championship venue, maybe in 4 to 5 years' time, we can start playing maybe reserve and academy rugby from Swinton. But certainly we've got to push our sort of geographical boundaries. And I think the wrong word really would be to say to capitalise on the misfortune of Manchester Rangers or anybody else. I think it's more about us finding ways where we can maybe tie up with, you know, with, I know there's junior clubs and there's some infrastructure in Manchester. Maybe we can all work together to deliver something for Manchester as well as you know, the Swinton area. Let's do something a little bit wider as well.
I mean, when you talk about things like that, that's what excites me.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, the game itself doesn't have the kind of presence that you'd expect in a city that, you know, it's on the M62 corridor, isn't it? And, you know, it doesn't have the rugby league presence that it should have, in my view. And I think it's a largely untapped area that it's not really an expansion area because it's right on our doorstep. But it's an area that, rather than us sort of fighting with Salford over the M27 an immediate sort of business, we can perhaps attract people, you know, from the other postcode areas within the greater Manchester and wider sort of areas, and try and get more people, you know, to come along. And it's not about just Swinton Lions, it's about participation in our great sport, isn't it?
Well, it definitely is, yeah. I mean, we've got to look at different ways, and it sounds like you're exploring all these different ways, and sounds like you've got some good people on board who are willing to explore as well.
We haven't, and that's the key. The key to it at the moment, it is exploring, you know, there's no sort of there's no decisions made, and certainly before we look at making any kind of changes, whatever they may be, there'll be a consultation process. And we'll speak to the fans and explain the reasoning, because obviously they won't necessarily understand that, you know, 2021 potentially, you know, if the Sky deal goes the way that some people in the press are reporting it, championship clubs could be without funding. And I can speak hand on heart and say that Swinton Lions won't be able to survive in its current guise as a club without Sky funding. So we are going to have to look at, it's not a case of why do we have to change? Why, you know, it's not broke, don't fix it. We potentially, you know, we could be looking at going off the end of a cliff in 2 years' time if we're not careful. And I don't want to just sit in the boat and hope it doesn't go off the edge of the cliff. I'd rather be trying to do something about it now and create something that, you know, will stand on its own 2 feet in 2 years' time.
And potentially as well, there's other clubs that could go that very same way, isn't there? Everybody's got to have a look at what they do in the future, this next couple of years, haven't they?
Well, definitely. I mean, you know, the TV funding from Sky, you know, you can become reliant upon that, and I'm sure it's not just our club that will feel the effects of that money not coming in. I mean, we've gone from being in the Championship last year, receiving 175,000 in central funding. We've gone down to 123,000 overnight this year, and that's a big drop in itself, which myself and the board have had to find a way to navigate around. But could you imagine, really, from going from 123,000 as we are now to nothing within 18 months, 2 years' time? It's not sustainable, and the club, you know, we won't be the only ones who, if that scenario does happen, as being reported in the press it could do, there'll be a lot of clubs that have a big problem. So we've got to address it now, Dave, and that's probably the reason why we're being forced to look at the bigger picture rather than just focus purely on a small town.
Mm. Thinking about how you're talking about maybe branching into get the message out there more around in the Manchester area. How challenging is that?
Well, it's a big challenge because obviously, you know, there's a resource involved with marketing, obviously. So, and the only way that you can really do something on a large scale is by, you know, serious marketing, and serious marketing costs money. But I think from our perspective, we've built a board that has a degree of marketing capability in-house with a couple of guys who own digital marketing agencies in Manchester. So we've got an understanding of that side of things. And I think, you know, that my view is that we could waste a lot of time in just marketing to the same people who might not be interested in coming back because we're not in Swinton. Mm. Or we could use that marketing resource to try and target a wider area, as in Manchester generally. Sale, we play out of Sale at the moment, so we'd be daft not to try and hit that immediate sort of audience. And, you know, it's all about, ultimately, we want people to be able to come and enjoy the sport, and hence the reason we've tried the free ticket offer last year and the £5 entry this season. And I think, you know, the interesting feedback and data that you collect from that, it helps you sort of understand what you need to be doing in the future then, doesn't it?
You kind of mentioned 2021 being when the TV deal ends, but what's your overall time limit for all that to kick in, or for it to happen?
Well, as I say, we've no actual concrete plans at the moment. We're kicking around ideas, and obviously the feedback I'm getting from our supporters at the moment is that, you know, they're open to working with the club in terms of, it's not a case of, if it's not this way, then we'll never come again. But certainly there is certain, I think there's some red lines from what I can see speaking with our fans in terms of the name Swinton and honouring the history and heritage of the club, which we would do anyway. So, you know, I'm trying to sort of begin a process now where we can understand what the plan is, we can then consult with the fans and see how they feel about that plan, and maybe fine-tune it to get the fans' cooperation with it. And then the key for the success of it moving forward will be everybody working together and us all pulling in the same direction, but with perhaps a new exciting vision rather than just same old, same old.
Do you think the Mancunians are buying into the world of rugby league?
I'd like to think so. I mean, I know it's been, a lot of people will point to the fact that, you know, it's been tried and, you know, there's been teams on the Greater Manchester outskirts for many, many years. But, you know, my view is it's a massive sporting city and it's globally recognised, and I think it'll take time and it'll need, as we spoke about, a serious level of investment in the marketing side of it. And it won't be an overnight sort of boom or bust scenario. I think you've got to get into the, you know, the grassroots of Manchester and work with some of the organisations Dave mentioned there. We've got to try and all work together, and it would be good to be able to do that and all get heads together and really try and deliver something from within the communities, within the grassroots, and grow it the right way rather than go in, throw a few quid at marketing something and try and make a success of something in 12 months, and if it doesn't work, walk away from it. It's got to be a long-term plan. It's all got to come from the roots of Swinton. M27 will play a massive part in it, hopefully, and you know, I'm pretty confident that, you know, our supporters will buy into something and lead us by the hand and tell us exactly what they want to see.
potentially. There's also the RFL moving to Manchester as well, isn't there? So that may help in an indirect way.
Well, that's the way I look at it in terms of, you know, there's a responsibility, in my view, when you receive a central funding, as we do, from TV money. There's a responsibility not just to put that into players' pockets, but, you know, concentrate on what you're doing on the field. I believe there's a responsibility to grow your own club, to do the right things, and to, you know, and to filter that money somehow into the, you know, into the community and grassroots. So, you know, I think if we do things the right way, I'm pretty confident that, you know, the RFL, well, I know for a fact, they'll like what they're seeing, and hopefully that'll stand us in good stead.
Andy, thank you very much for joining us this evening. It's been fascinating finding out about rugby league life on the edge. It's something that we don't often hear about, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's certainly, as I said, it's all on at the moment. It's sort of exploratory, and we're looking at options and ideas and ways to navigate the future potential problems. And I think it's good business practice to be looking further than the end of your nose as well, isn't it? So it's always good to discuss it as well. I've always tried to be transparent. I've always tried to be open and honest. And rather than these things going on in the background and people get wind that Swinton's going to change something, I'd rather the fans know where we are and understand that we will be working with them, and we won't do anything to jeopardise their, you know, their beloved sort of club.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Interesting stuff coming from M27.
Definitely.
I just thought of a name for him, actually.
Go on.
Because, you know, they got the dilemma. Did they drop the Swinton name? Did they keep it? Did they keep the history alive within the World of Rugby League?
Oh, God. What are you thinking of?
No, I incorporate the Manchester bit.
We are going to get complaints, you know, from Ian Rigg if you mess this up.
No, mate. I'm not. This is a good one.
Go on.
You could call it Swinton of Manchester.
Swinton of Manchester. Didn't Sale try something like
that? Did they? Yeah, I don't know.
And then dropped it on the other code.
Right, okay.
I think they were called Sale of Manchester, weren't they? Or Manchester Sale.
It's just an idea. Manchester Swinton. Swinton of Manchester.
Mm.
With the Mancunians buy into it. Andy Maisie seems to think they will.
It is always interesting.
You could pose the same question to Dr. Kukash and Luke Backhouse. Would the Scousers buy into it?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's all gone a little bit quiet on that
it
front,
has,
hasn't it, regarding the Liverpool club? But
yeah.
I certainly hope that it succeeds and that they are able to foster some interest there. I mean, it's sad when you read about Oldham only attracting less than 300 people to a game. I mean, that's really, really sad, isn't it?
Yes, we had that conversation with Barry Matt, didn't we, a few months ago regarding Oldham, about how they've gone from the dizzy heights of 7,000 to how many?
Well, they had less than 300 against Doncaster.
In the space of 20 years.
Yeah, it's very sad, though.
It'd be interesting to see how that pans out with Swinton, but, you know, the name's going to be still alive. I just thought they could incorporate both. Welcome to the Fan of the Hooter, Adrian Jackson, Dave Parkinson, talking rugby league on the Fan of the Hooter podcast, the podcast for loverugbyleague.com. And thanks very much for our sponsors, Radio General, for letting us use the studio.
It makes us sound better.
Some interesting stories that we touched upon before we introduced Andy Maisie. The big one, I suppose, is we mentioned Tony Smith coming back into the game of rugby league, having to replace Tim Sheens. But nobody also saw the fact that Sean Long's disappearing as well.
Yeah, I mean, that was also a little bit from left field. I mean, it was muted, I think, in a tabloid report a couple of weeks ago. But he was being linked with Gloucester. He wasn't being linked with Harlequins, which has been announced. And the interesting fact is that St Helens have released him with immediate effect as well.
Yeah, and we're going to hear from Justin Holbrook now. He even admits himself he's got mixed feelings about it.
Mixed thoughts for Longy. You know, you love to keep him here. The hard thing about the two codes in the country here is they don't run parallel. They, you know, the seasons run opposite. So, you know, I would have loved Longy to stay for the rest of the year, but I'm also really happy for him. You know, he's been assistant here for going into his fifth year, so he needs a new challenge, and I think it's great for him, and I think he'll do well. So, and even from our end, you know, what we've set up here is not... You know, it doesn't rely on one person or one player. So, you know, we're in a good position, we're stable, and we'll be fine moving forward. So just wish Longy all the best for his new challenge in rugby union.
And whilst he was here and when he came as coach, what did he bring to it from a coaching point of view what perhaps we don't see?
Yeah, look, he understands the game really well, Longy. You know, he understands the tactical side, which is important, and you know, he's got an emphasis on the skill level, which I like. So, you know, he's always got the rugby league brain, which is great, and then he's lighthearted. He'll give you a laugh when he's not meaning to give you a laugh, and that's what I love. That's what I'll miss about Longy. He not try and be funny, but he makes me laugh. So, you know, he'll be missed here, that's for sure.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve Manning's brave, isn't he? He's brave.
Asking the questions.
Asking the questions, not just about Sean Long, but, you know, he had to face Justin Holbrook after that shocker of a defeat against London Broncos. No one saw that one coming, did we?
Hey, fair play to London Broncos,
yes,
though. And fair play to Ryan Morgan as well. He scored a couple of tries in that one. He's on loan from St Helens.
Yeah, I bet he enjoyed that one, didn't he?
Definitely, yeah. But, I mean, it just shows how competitive Super League can be, doesn't it?
It is, yeah. We mentioned that one, St Helens basically destroying everybody's betting slip for that round of Rugby League by losing that to the Broncos on the Golden Point decision. But another close one was Hokinson Rovers versus Wigan, but Wigan just about spoiling the party on Tony Smith.
Yeah, did you see that drop goal as well from Powell?
Cracker.
Oh, 40-odd yards. It was a cracking drop goal.
I taught him everything he knew.
I tell you what, there was also an interesting finish to Castleford Tigers against Huddersfield, which was also decided on golden points as well.
Plenty of golden points decisions last week, weren't there?
Peter Matautia kicking it after 87 minutes. So they obviously had a few goes at a drop goal before they could get it in between the posts.
And who were the other winners in round 17?
Round 17, yeah. Hull FC defeated Salford 35-32. Leeds defeated Wakefield 10-0 in a rather forgettable game that played in the murk and the rain and what have you over there at Wakefield. And we saw Warrington Wolves get a number on Catalan's Dragons. They defeated them easily in the second half. I mean, it was all pretty close, wasn't it, for about half an hour. Then they scored two tries before half-time and got away from them.
Yeah, I thought Warrington looked dangerous when Darrell Clark does what he does best, which is go from dummy half quite a lot.
And then there was that try from Austin as well, which really tipped it in Warrington's
favour. Well, Catalan's obviously realised he's the danger man, because he tries to clop it every time he kicked it downfield, didn't he? But he's made of tough stuff, is the Austin, and he seems to ride every challenge.
Yeah, yeah, he's a tough player, isn't he? In the words of Steve-O, he's one tough hombre.
Yes, he is.
You caught up with another tough hombre as well, didn't you?
Darrell Clark, that was a tough game against the Catalans, and that certainly was the case today.
Yeah, it always is. They're a big physical side, and you know, we've played them a few times already, and you know, they've got over the top of us and been big and physical in the middle. So I thought our pack matched up and got over them today, so I think that went a massive way to winning the game.
So they seem to have a bit more quality than the Catalans overall around the pitch.
Yeah, I think we played pretty well. We got a few lucky bounces, which you always need, and we scored some good long range tries, so yeah, all good.
Certainly got on the front foot when you were going from dummy half more often.
Yeah, you know, our big fellas are running well at the minute, and you know, keeping people on the floor and winning play the ball, so yeah, that plays into my hands, so hopefully they can keep doing that, and you know, I can keep making them runs.
Yeah, you've got to try off the back of it, so it certainly paid dividends today.
Yeah, I think it was Bryson on that occasion with a quick play of the ball, but you know, outside backs and forwards have been doing it all year, so yeah, big credit to them.
What was your mood like at half time?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I think the Blake Austin tried just before half time gave us a big lift, giving us a 2-score going to half time after it being pretty scrappy, so it was pretty confident at half time.
So he got the job done, and it was a real tough 8 minutes because we had to roll up the sleeve and dig in.
Yeah, like I say, they're a big physical side, and you know, a lot of bumps and bruises, but you know, we dug in for the 80 minutes and got a really good performance.
Young lad up full back on debut, how do you feel he went?
Yeah, I thought he went pretty well. To say it's a big step from 19 to first team, and you know, he did what he needed to do, and it was good to see him go, young lad getting a run, so yeah, I think overall he did really well.
You did 75 minutes, how did you feel that one?
Oh yeah, come off the near 5 minutes, but the 75 minutes against a big physical side like Catalan is, you know, it's good going for a 17-year-old. So, like I say, a good effort for him.
What about yourself?
I was blowing towards that last bit, so I was happy to get the last 10 minutes on the bench, but yeah, all good.
The win now keeps the pressure up on St Helens, and that's got to be the case, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is. But you know, if we keep focusing on ourselves and keep knocking the wins off, and then you know, we'll be there or thereabouts come the end of the year, hopefully.
Next up, Hull Kingston Rovers, and just by the way things are within the World Rugby League, Tony Smith is going to be the coach there, so that gives it an extra dimension.
Not really. There's not much you can change in a week, I wouldn't have thought, but he's a good coach, and yeah, it'll be pretty interesting in going up his own club. But yeah, hopefully we can get a full fit side out and go over there and do the job.
Got a full week to recover and prepare for that. How will you go about that?
We're in recovery in the morning, and then off on Sunday, and then straight in back as usual on Tuesday, and then a full week building up to KR. So yeah, not much will change.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
No rest for the wicked. I'm sure Warrington be loving locking horns with Tony Smith again.
It's interesting. I think he's underplayed that one, hasn't he? He's got to mean a little bit of something.
Of course
hasn't
he has. Of course he has. He's gonna have the Rovers fired up, isn't he?
I think so.
What do you make about the young lad at fullback? 17. What was you doing when you were 17 years of age? I certainly wasn't facing 6'3". 17 stone players like Sam Cassiano.
No, neither was I, to be honest. He had a great debut, didn't he?
Young did.
Yeah. He's another one from that Oldham stable of young players. You know, it just shows that town can still produce rugby league talent, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Before we talk the Championship and League One, shall we talk 1895 Cup?
Yeah, let's have a look. So, these fixtures, it was round two which happened, and Batley Bulldogs defeated Rochdale Hornets 38 points to 18. Dewsbury Rams defeated Swinton Lions 44-26. There was no upset at Lee Centurions, where Workington Town were dispatched by 62 points to 12. Oldham, they lost out disappointingly 24 points to 12 against Doncaster, while York City Knights accounted for the Newcastle Thunderside by 30 points to 16. We had a few midweek matches. This was due to Bradford and Halifax's involvement in the Challenge Cup. So it finished Barrow Raiders 50, Bradford Bulls 6. I was at that one. Brilliant game from Jamie Dalymore. Bradford gave debuts to none less than 10 players from the academy ranks. Halifax, they also put out a virtual reserve side against Sheffield and lost by 52 points to 8. Widnes had a good victory against Featherstone Rovers, who were also of mixed strength, it would be fair to say, 22-16, but that was the second win of three in a week. Widnes had earlier defeated Sheffield Eagles 36 points to 6 the Friday before.
You mentioned the fact you made the long journey up to Barrow on a Wednesday night, and you were rewarded with an interview with Paul Crary.
Yeah, and here we are. We're discussing all about the development of young players for both Barrow and Cumbria.
I was very fortunate a few weeks ago to see Furness Raiders in their final that they played, and there's some top talent that I know you've picked some of that up, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. Some of them have played for us in the Charlie Emsley. He's played for us in the first team games. Adam Ford we've just signed. He was at Wigan, but he was let go from Wigan. He's an absolute flyer, but we're trying to bring him slowly. We brought him in, give him a weights programme. He's come through our system over the last couple of years. My own son's playing in the academy that won the national championship. So, over a few years, we've done really well. They run the same systems as the first team, and they play some football, so that's what we're trying to do. But the big thing is, all the Super League clubs are sniffing around, and they picked one kid up that's at St. Helens now. He's on a three-month trial, and he rang me and just said, "Look, St. Helens have come." I said, "Go for it. It doesn't work out, come back with us." But we've got a development programme, I think, with 140 kids on it from 12s to 15s. Over the last 3 years, and like I say, an academy side now that's won the national finals and beat Wigan to do that, and so it's just what's happening off the field here is long term. It's not short term for me. It's about what we put in place, not what we achieve as a group. So we'll keep doing that. If it's not good enough for some of the fans, we'll all move on, and then we can start shipping people up from down the road again. But that's not the answer. I believe the answer is to farm our own players and help the community, because the community support this club and make it what it is. It's not about me, it's not about the players, it's about the whole community pulling together to have one vision for the amateurs to progress to the professional ranks.
I know, because of your involvement previously with the amateur side of things in this town and in this district, you've got your handle on it, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. I've coached the amateur side, the Cumbria amateur side, to two county championships, probably for the first time in history. I coached the professional side. as well. You know, we drew with our national side 18-all before they went on tour for the Gary Purdom game. You know, we beat Tonga, we beat America 72-0, we beat Tonga with Filete Mateo and Fui at the peak playing for them. You know, so you know, we've had Carl Amor come through our systems and people like that. You know, and Eddie Gardner's played in that, and I think there should be more Cumbrian and games because we've been really good and we've got some good kids now playing. I think Singo, when he first started, we played him at loose forward. Bill Sharp played for Cumbria, he's a Cumbrian as well, so there's a lot of good players out there in Cumbrian rugby, and I understand how it all works. Cumbria's vast, so you've got to work hard, you know, as a Cumbrian coach. I spoke to Paul Cullen, he came down the other week to do a presentation. He said it was the hardest thing he had to do was coach Whitehaven when he went there because of the work. Everyone's earning big money at Sellafield and in BAE, and then you can't put pressure on the players. They do it for enjoyment, they don't do it for the money. Whereas if people are playing Super League or in Lancashire and Yorkshire, probably playing more for the money. Whereas here, you know, money's not their thing. They just play for enjoyment, and you've got to understand that. And you've got to work with shifts. You know, two lads come tonight and got ready 45 minutes for kickoff. Jerry Stack and Tom Walker, so they had to come off a shift. So that's what we're going to put with this club. But it's managing it and understanding the area.
And to be honest as well, I mean, that's something that nobody really talks about, do they? And that's like a big, massive undertaking that has to be understood.
Yeah, definitely. And when the Cumbria Academy collapsed, Phil Finney come down here and spoke with Dave Rotherham, and they looked out the window, and we had 140 kids on the field, and then we had the academy later on travel training, and he said this is what should have been set up in Cumbria, but we understand how it all works, so that's we know what needs to be done. We've had no funding for that. All the funding, we have a super lotto which John Spuer created, and he asked me what I think it's 15,000 or 10,000 a year comes through that, and he said what do you want it for, Paul? Do you want it for players? And I said I want it for youth development. You know, I want to put something back in the community, help the amateur coaches. I've got a great relationship with all the amateur teams. You know, we go to Dalton, I think, on Friday night with the PNG boys to do some coaching. We have other teams down here running up against us, you know, and amateur coaches ring me, and I've got a lot of friends in the game. I've had Rod Reddy over and you know, come to see me, and
yeah, there's a legend from the past.
He is, yeah, and I think him and Richard come down, and Mark Campbell come down from Featherstone. We had a great weekend, you know, so you know, I've got a lot of help in the game and a lot of good friends in the game that really helped me, and I try and put that back into the local scene.
It's really nice hearing about that, because I don't think enough people discuss that, and that's why I want to get that story out, really.
Yeah, that's great, and that's what we've got to do. We started here as a mid-table Championship 1 team, and you know, and we've come a long, long way from that. And you know, like tonight, putting 50 points on Bradford, and it's Bradford. It's not Bradford 19s or whatever. It's Bradford Bulls. You know, that's what they brand themselves as, and so you can beat what's put in front of you, but. As a club, we want to stay in the Championship. We think, you know, we deserve to be. We've got great support, you know, but it's whether we can do that, you know, with the injury situation we've had from week one. It's been horrific. But we get to grips with it, and then we lose players again.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
I think it's great you've got a professional coach who still puts a lot back into the local amateur scene as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic hearing about how they're developing the talent there with the Furness Raiders and the connection with the local college, and then speaking with the local amateur sides as well. I mean, he was talking there about having 140 players in Barrow that they're keeping tabs on now, which is brilliant. I bet some professional clubs don't keep that many tabs
on. Not at all, no. And yeah, it's hard to believe it's been nearly 20 years since working some of the last team in Super League from that area.
I know, it's very sad, isn't it? You think that there'd be a lot more that would have gone that way. I mean, Paul speaks very, very fondly of his time as coach of Cumbria, especially when they played against England those few years ago. So, I mean, you know, fantastic guy. Very underrated coach as well. Sadly, his side couldn't come up with the goods against Widnes in the Championship, but we'll come to that in a moment.
We will, won't we? Yeah, because we're going to talk League One. One fixture that caught my eye was the fact that they went head-to-head in the 1895 Cup, and Doncaster won it. And the way the fixtures panned out, Doncaster to play Oldham again. I bet Scott Naylor loved that one.
It's rare, isn't it, when sides get
almost home and away games against each other.
Yeah, and Donny did it again, so they are a bit of a bogey team for Oldham, aren't they?
They did. They played very well, actually. I mean, Hedges scored two tries. Jordy Hedges, the young loose forward that they had. Watson Boas, who's on loan from Featherstone Rovers, went 90 metres, a spectacular try where he beat all comers. If you get the chance to see that on the social media channels of the RFL, I'd recommend you to get on there and have a look, because it's a really spectacular try. And they were controlled by Matty Beharrell, who I think I've spoken about on this show more than once over the last sort of 6-7 months. So yeah, it was a good victory for Doncaster, who defeated Oldham by 31-0.
Who else is in the winners enclosure in round 11?
Well, Hunslet defeated Keighley Cougars 34-0. Newcastle Thunder had a road victory at North Wales Crusaders by 48-12. West Wales Raiders went down by 12-58 to Workington Town. Interesting to note, Ollie Wilkes scored the 100th try of his career, and Sean Penkovic scored the 150th of his career. And there was another win for top of the table Whitehaven, who defeated Coventry Burst 32-18.
Also, the race is on for top spot.
Very much so, yeah. They're 3 points clear of Hunslet at the moment, but I tell you what, there's a real logjam from Doncaster upwards. After that game, by the way, Doncaster and Oldham, I caught up with Richard Horn, and this is what we had to say. Richard, we're catching up in the aftermath of what was a very comprehensive win in the end, 31-0 against Oldham. Your thoughts on the game?
I thought defensively it was very good. I think that's that give us the opportunity to create, and a couple of our tries were opportunist tries. You know, they pounce on a loose ball, you know, Watson Boas goes full length, and it sort of changes the game for them. They have to start pushing a few passes, and we were good. We defended everything that they threw at us, and like I say, forced errors and just give us opportunity to execute and get some points on the board.
I thought you demoralised them through the middle, to be honest.
Our middle went really well. They started well. Physical. We knew it was going to be a physical game after last week, so we knew we had to match them. And they had, like I say, some strike players coming back in Langtree and Bridge, and I thought we did a really good job on them. We had previewed them all week, and because we knew they was the go-to people for them, and I thought we handled them really well today.
What does this win do for confidence? I suppose it wasn't lacking in the first place, was it?
I think it's just generating some momentum in the league. You know, we've been stopped starting it, so now we're on the back of three. It's going into Hunslet, we're in good form. It's going to be a real good and another tough encounter on Friday night.
Chatting to a couple of the guys in the press box, and they were suggesting that it was round about this time last year when that massive run started.
Well, fingers crossed. I hope so. It'd be nice, you know. We need to knock off a fair few games now to even give us a chance of that top spot. But at the moment, we just want to finish as high as we can with a hook, so we can get a home tie in them playoffs and take momentums into them playoffs. And we'll just take each week as it comes and hopefully get the results.
I was going to ask you, is it just that old cliche, if you like, just one week at a time, one game at a time?
It is for us at the moment, because I think I've picked up another two injuries this week, so I've picked up six in the last three games, so we're very low on numbers. So again, Tuesday it's one of them where I'll just have to see what I've got available for the Thursday session, and which ain't ideal preparation going into a tough Hunslet game, but it's where we're at, and but what we've got, we'll work hard and look to get the job done.
When we spoke before the game, I mentioned about Matty Beharrell, and he's come off the back and he's done another fantastic shift for you.
Yeah, he's gone well. I thought he managed the game well. You know, when the rain came, he was getting behind his kicking game and putting it out and giving us field position, and we were defensively forcing some errors, and again, when they made errors, we punished them for it. So, and sometimes in them conditions, that's the game, and we did it well.
Certainly sounds like he's a handful. Richard Hall speaks really well, doesn't he? I like the way he sets his teams up, man. And I know he still works for Hull as well, mm-hmm. in the week. Just thinking, could he be the man to go back to Hull and get him up there where they should be?
Oh, come on, don't be for sacking Lee Radford.
Well, they must be getting fed up with Lee Radford. Come on. 1 minute they're winning by 50, they're losing by 50. It's frustrating stuff.
Oh, it is frustrating. But I tell you what, when they're knocking Catalans off in the Challenge Cup 51-8, then we shouldn't be talking about Lee Radford getting the sack.
No just, pressure, Richard.
Just before we move on, though, I mean, to bring you up to date with the other results from the Challenge Cup, Warrington defeated Hull Kingston Rovers 28-12. 22 at Hull KR. St Helens had a regulation victory, 48 points to 10 at home to Wakefield. I've already said about Hull defeating Catalans 51-8, which was just a massive turnaround from the week before when they lost by 50.
Exactly.
And Halifax got through to a Challenge Cup semi-final, defeating Bradford 20 points to 16, which for me was the best game of the lot of them.
Yeah, it was a great game, wasn't it? Scott Morrell certainly inspired Simon Grix's men.
Very much so, yeah. That's all. Everyone was wondering who'd get Halifax in the draw. Warrington didn't. They got Hull. They've got the difficult job. Oh, or have they? Hull need to turn up for that one. St Helens will play against Halifax. Those games, of course, being played over at the University of Bolton Stadium, which was a little bit in doubt at one point, wasn't it? But the Rugby League have confirmed it and all the tickets are on sale right
we're
now.
On. It's a triple header, isn't it? Because we've got the Women's Challenge Cup final.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that all eventuates as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one in future podcasts. But we're going to leave the last word to Christine, because it's been a busy old week for Widnes Vikings, hasn't it? 3 games in 9 days.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine a Super League club doing that?
Oh, I tell you what, they'd be moaning like anything, wouldn't they?
I mean, I know John Kerr was moaning about it, wasn't he? So he rested 9 players ahead of that game against Barrow. But Widnes, being in the situation they are,
they've not got that luxury, have they?
They haven't got the luxury. So them guys have had to back it up.
They have, yeah, and they did a great job. Just before we hear from Christine, though, the other winners from round 16 of the Betfred Championship, Bradford Bulls against Batley. Dewsbury Rams had a great win against Rochdale Hornets. Lee Centurions got the better of Halifax, with Featherstone Rovers getting over the top of Sheffield. Toronto, they defeated Swinton. An interesting story about Toronto with David Argyle saying something that he shouldn't, so we'll have a discussion about that in the next podcast. And Toulouse Olympique getting over the top of York City Knights. As Adrian mentioned, it was a great week for Widnes Vikings. They defeated Barrow 38 points to 14, and we'll hear from Christine.
Christine, 3 games in 9 days and 3 wins. Confidence in the move must be buzzing.
Yeah, we're made up with that. We did set a target of 3 wins. We thought we could get it, and we played well in all 3, and luckily we come out the other side of it. A few tired bodies, but we'll rest up and get ready for next week.
It sounds a tough all week, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it is. It's difficult with the cup game in between 2 league games, but I felt we come out of it all right. Yeah, we, like I said, 3 wins. What more can we ask for? So we're in a good place at the minute.
Ended with a dominant performance against Barrow, and you must have been really happy with the energy as well. Just seemed to be pulsing for the full 80.
Yeah. We've put a big emphasis on our start the last week with these 3 games, because it was a place where we thought we could improve. So we did what we said we'd do. Started well, and I thought it made the games easier for us, really. So today it was a good performance. I think both their tries were interceptions, so they didn't break us down with their attack, so that's one positive we can take out of it.
I'm going to say defensively pretty solid.
Yeah, it was, yeah. First half just a penalty, and like I said, the 2 tries, I think they were both interceptions, so yeah, we'll take a lot from that. We'll have a look at it probably Tuesday and go from there.
Quick fire start, and that just seemed to set the platform for the rest of the game.
Yeah, it did. Like I said, it's something we've worked on, starting big and trying to get a lead up, or trying to not blow teams away, but being games and wear them down towards the end of the game. So, but luckily we're going in at half time with decent leads, and now I think we've got the mentality that we're kept holding to them leads and adding to them and finishing games strong.
Certainly playing with a lot of confidence as well.
Yeah, we are. I mean, that's wins bring confidence, and it's not a nice place when you go in and you've got beat. So we're going into training, we're all buzzing again, and it rubs off on you as a player. So we'll just keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully keep picking them wins up.
As a more experienced player in the side, what's it like playing with all these young kids?
Yeah, they keep you on your toes. It's a good set of lads, really talented bunch of players. And yeah, it's just our job as older senior players to guide them a bit and help them and do our jobs to the best of our ability and help them bring them on to do theirs. But yeah, if they keep their heads down and keep doing what they're doing, I'm sure they've got big futures.
Good team effort out there, but how did you feel you went?
Yeah, I felt all right, yeah. A bit tired after 3 games, but that was expected. But yeah, I feel like my performances are being okay at the minute, so just keep working hard, get my recovery done now and go next week.
2 more points in the bag. Next up, Featherstone Rovers. That's going to be a tougher challenge than what it was in the 1895 Cup.
Definitely, they've come into a bit of form now and they've got up that league table. I think they've had a good result today and won, so that's going to be a really tough game. We're going to have to really work hard next week and want to come away with a win, but we're confident against anybody at the minute, so we'll we'll go up there and hopefully do a job on them.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Right, we're not gone yet. We haven't gone yet. We've had three golden point outcomes on the action on the field.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Right,
we
we're going to have our first ever golden point on the Final Hooter.
We are, and golden point. And I tell you what, I'm really proud to reveal this.
Go on then.
Over at Haydock, the under 15 side are now being coached by none other than Tim Yonkers. We've not heard from Tim.
Tim Yonkers?
Yeah, former St. Helens man. Tackling machine. Great player. So great to hear of his involvement back. I hadn't heard anything from him, to be honest, from after he finished at Lee. Played at Salford as well, of course, and had that trophy-laden spell with St. Helens. So great to hear about Tim Yonkers being involved back in the game. Well done, Haydock, for getting him back. And the under-15s team are looking for players.
You know what your next assignment is, don't you?
Go and have a chat with him.
Go and have a chat with him at Haydock.
Yeah. I'll take up that mantle.
That's our first ever golden point.
Oh, we managed to do it. We didn't have to do copious rewrites either, like the journalists.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.